আপনি করে আস্বাদানে শিকাইলা ভক্ত গানে প্রেম চিন্তা মানে প্রভু ধানে। নাহি জানে স্থান স্থানা ইয়ারে তারে কয়লা দানা মহাপ্রভু ধাতা শিরোমানি। আপনি করে আস্বাদানে শিকাইলা ভক্ত গানে প্রেম চিন্তা মানে প্রভু ধানে। নাহি জানে স্থান স্থানা ইয়ারে তারে কয়লা দানা মহাপ্রভু ধাতা শিরোমানি। বিলাসে ইয়ে তিনা অবিলাসে ইয়াতনেহা আস্বাদনা হইলা শ্রীরাধার ভাব সারা আপনে করি অঙ্গীকারা সে তিন বস্তু আস্বাদিলা। ডুরিং হিজ প্রিভিয়াস পাস্ট টাইমস ইন বৃন্দাবন লর্ড কৃষ্ণ ডিসাইডেড টু এনজয় দ্য থ্রি ডিফারেন্ট টাইপস অফ এক্সটেসি। But despite great endeavor, he could not taste them. Such ecstasies are the monopoly of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in order to taste them, Sri Krishna accepted the position of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In today's verse, by personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a wealthy capitalist possessing the touchstone of love of God, not considering whether one is proper or improper recipient. He gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. Thus, he is the most munificent. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's capital is the touchstone of love of Godhead, and consequently he is a great owner of that transcendental treasure. After making unlimited amounts of gold, the touchstone remains the same. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although distributing love of Godhead unlimitedly, still remained the supreme owner of this transcendental opulence. His devotees who learned it from him also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. This Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of Godhead all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Egupta bhava sindhu brahmana paya eka bindu hena dana vilaila samsare. Aiche dayala avatar, aiche data nahi ara, guna keha nari vani bhari. No one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste a drop of this confidential ocean of ecstasy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, has distributed this love of God all over the world. Thus, there cannot be any incarnation more munificent than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no greater donor. Who can describe his transcendental qualities? Kahi bar katanahi, kahi lek kehana pujai, aiche chitra chaitanyera ranga. Se se bujite pare chaitanyera kripa yandre, hai tandra dasa anuda sanga. Such topics are not to be discussed freely, because if they are, no one will understand them. Such are the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unto one who is able to understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown mercy by giving him the association of the servant of his own servant. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. An ordinary person cannot understand the transcendental ecstasies in the mode of Srimati Radharani. Unfit persons who utilize them are perverted into Sahaja, Baula, and other sampradayas. Thus the teachings are perverted. Even learned scholars in the academic field cannot understand the transcendental bliss and ecstasy exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. One must be fit to understand the purport of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Chaitanya Lila Ratnasara Swarupera Bandara Teno Tuila Raghunathir Kante Tahan Kichu Yesu Nilan Taha Ihan Vistarilun Bhaktakani Dilun E. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the topmost of jewels. They have been kept in the storehouse of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who has explained them to Raghunath Das Goswami, who has repeated them to me. Whatever little I have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, I have described in this book, which is presented to all devotees. Purport. All the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were noted by his personal secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and repeated to Raghunath Das Goswami, who memorized them. Whatever Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has heard is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is called the Parampara system, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Swarup Damodar Goswami, to Raghunath Das Goswami, to Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has distributed this information in his book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the essence of the instruction given through the Parampara system of the disciplic succession, stemming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yadi ke ha hena kai, granta koila slokamai, itar jane noribe bujite. Prabhu je acharana se kori varnana, sarva chiti nori aradite. If one says that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of Sanskrit verses and therefore not understandable by a common man, I reply that what I have described are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that for me to satisfy everyone is not possible. Nahi kahan saviroda, nahi kahan anurodha, sahaja bastu kori vivana yadi hoye ragodesha tahan hai avesha sahaja bastu nak yai likhan. In this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, There is no contradictory conclusion, nor is anyone else's opinion accepted. I have written this book to describe the simple substance as I have heard it from superiors. If I become involved in someone's likes and dislikes, I cannot possibly write the simple truths. Purports. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and one who follows in his footsteps, do not have to cater to the public. Their business is simply to satisfy the previous acharyas and describe the pastimes of the Lord. One who is able to understand can relish this exalted transcendental literature, which is actually not meant for ordinary persons like scholars and literary men. Generally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes recorded in the Chaitanya Charitamrita are studied in universities and scholastic circles from a literary and historical point of view. But actually, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not a subject matter for research workers or literary scholars. It is simply meant for those devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shesha Lilar Sutragan Kailan Kichu Vivarana Ihan Vistarite Chita Hoya Take Adi Ayushesha Vistaribe Lila Shesha Yadi Mahaprabhur Kripa Hoya. I have already given a synopsis of all the facts and figures of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's last pastimes, and I have a desire to describe them elaborately. If I remain longer and am fortunate enough to receive the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I shall try to describe them again more elaborately. Ami brida jarathura likite kanpaye kara mane kichu smarana na haya na dekhiye nayane na suniye sravane tabuliki ebadi bishmaya. I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While I write, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write, and this is a great wonder. I will repeat. I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While I write, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write, and this is a great wonder. E Anjali Lasar Sutra madhye vistar kori kichu kori lun varnana iha madhye mariyabe varnite na poritabe he lila bhakta ganadhana. In this chapter, I have to some extent described the essence of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya at the end. If I die in the meantime and cannot describe them in detail, at least the devotees will have this transcendental pleasure. Sankshepe e sutra kaila ye iha nalikila age taha kori bhavistara yadi tata dinajiye mahaprabhu kripa haye icha bari kori bhavichara. In this chapter, I have briefly described the Antyalila. Whatever I have not described, I shall describe extensively in the future. If by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy I live for so many days, then I can fulfill my desires. I will give full consideration to these pastimes. Shottabari Bhaktakana Vandon Sabarashri Charan Sabi Mori Karahasantosha Swarupa Gosayamata Rupa Raghunath Rupa Raghunath Janiyata Thai Liki Nahi Mora Dosha. I herewith worship the lotus feet of all kinds of devotees, both advanced and neophyte. I request all of them to be satisfied with me. I am faultless because I have written herein whatever I have understood from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. I have neither added nor subtracted from their version. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there are three kinds of devotees, known as Bhajan Vigya, expert in devotional service, Bhajan Shila, devotees engaged in devotional service, and Krishna Nami Dikshita Krishna Namakori, initiated devotees engaged in chanting. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begs the mercy of all these devotees and asks them to be pleased with him. He says, let the neophyte devotees, the devotees who are very expert in arguing, though they have no sense of advanced devotional service, who think themselves very advanced because they imitate some smarter Brahman, let such devotees not be displeased with me, thinking that I have committed errors in this regard. I beg their pardon with great humility, but I am submitting that I personally have no desire to add or subtract anything. I have only written what I have heard in the disciplic succession. Because I am dedicated to the lotus feet of the previous acharyas, like Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, I have only written what I have heard from them. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Advaitari Bhakta Brinda Sire Dari Sabaracharana Swarup Rupa Sanatana Raghunather Sri Charana Duli Karon Mistake Bhushana. According to the Parampara system, I wish to take the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. I wish to take the dust of their lotus feet upon my head. In this way, I wish to be blessed with their mercy. Panayandra Agyadana Brajera Vaishnavagana Bandam Thandra Mukya Haridasa Chaitanya Vilasa Sindhu Kalolera Eka Bindu Tharakana Kohi Krishna Dasa. Receiving orders from the above authorities and the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, especially from Haridas, the priest of Govindaji, I, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, have tried to describe one small particle of one drop of one wave of the ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today, We are continuing our festival of Sri Gaur Purnima, year 2004. All devotees of our Gaudiya Sampradaya regularly contemplate the sloka of Sri Rupa Goswami. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudatveshe Namaha. The origin of this prayer is historically very significant. We know that Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam first met Lord Chaitanya in Sri Ram Keli, which where they, that is the place they were residing. As very powerful, wealthy, influential, political heads of state under the king. But they understood that real wealth is not in money, property, beautiful buildings, or power. They understood that real wealth is in the opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Premadan, real wealth is the wealth of love. That love satisfies the innermost needs of the heart. That love can only be accessed and realized through bhakti. Bhakti means not just devotion, but devotional service. The nature of bhakti is it is dynamic. It is realized and it is expressed through service. Bhakti can only be understood through service, and bhakti is tasted through service. Therefore, Rupa and Sanatan, Anupam, they came to this realization that real wealth is service, the opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead by assisting him in such a way that he is pleased. Now, it is not very difficult to talk theoretically about this, that real wealth is the chance to be a menial, humble service. But Rupa and Sanatan, they demonstrated their realization and conviction in order to illustrate the whole world what it really means. Multi-millionaires, they lived in magnificent palaces, the best clothes, ornaments, most fine, well-prepared foods, anything they liked, beautiful properties, gardens, their own beautiful lakes, private lakes for taking their baths. Plus, they were so very, very popular. They had political power. The king trusted them so much that he treated them like his own brothers and gave them vast properties of his own wealth. There's no question that they would ever be voted out of office. Because a king was a king unless he was either conquered or died. And the Nawab Hussein Shah was unconquerable. So not only did they have such an incredible position of power, influence, wealth, but it was totally stable. No one could take it away from them. But they were lamenting. They were crying. They were considering themselves the most unfortunate. Because what is the use of all this if we don't have service to the Lord? Service to the Lord is the only thing that is true. It is the only real treasure of life. Therefore, they wrote letter after letter after letter to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begging him to rescue them from their lamentable, despicable position of being pious, multi-millionaire rulers of society.
Hare Krishna.
They were not impious. They were perfectly pious in every way. Please deliver us. This is all illusion, illusory. The only real wealth is to surrender to you. Because that is where we will find your pleasure. And in pleasing you, we can experience love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the sincerity of their constant appeals to rescue them. And actually, even their parents. Most parents are very happy if the child goes to America and makes a lot of money and sends it home. Well, their children were living in massive palaces, giving abundant money to the parents. But the parents were doing pujas and crying and praying every day for Krishna to deliver them from their lamentable materialistic situation. Why? Because they understood what wealth is. It's not a beautiful body and nice clothes and ornaments, a nice house and furniture and prestige. Real wealth is menial, humble service that pleases the Lord. They didn't have that. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli to reciprocate, Sanatan Goswami, in order to achieve this wealth of humble menial service to the Lord and his devotees, was willing to give up living in a beautiful estate with gardens and forests and lakes and palaces to be put in prison, wearing filthy rags in a dark pit, probably with rats and insects, and chained, bound with black iron chains. He was willing to make that trade-off. Just with the glimpse of possibility that he could achieve the service of the Lord. And ultimately he was a fugitive. And he and Rupa Goswami and Anupan accepted the life in Vrindavan. Tyaktva tura namashesha mandalapati srenim sadatu chavat. To live in simple copan, sleeping on the ground under trees. Because this is how the Lord wished that they should serve him. So when Rupan Sanatan Goswami and Anupam, when they are talking about how they appreciate the true wealth of devotional service as the ultimate wealth, they mean it. The common word in the West is to walk your talk. Well, they really, they lived by what they believed. They demonstrated. They were willing to sacrifice everything that practically the whole human society is longing for to demonstrate their conviction, their faith. So now they're mendicants. And they come to Prayag. And there at Prayag, they saw something extraordinary. They saw at that Beni Madhava or Bindu Madhava temple, hundreds and thousands of people in ecstatic love, crying in happiness, with their arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names. What they witnessed was extraordinary. Although every year there is the Magh Mela, and every 12 years Kumbh Mela, still in history we do not find that this Sangam of Yamuna, Ganga, Saraswati has ever flooded Prayag. But Rupa Goswami saw a flood. There at Prayag Dham, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has flooded the entire area with Krishna Prema. Not considering who is fit or who is unfit. Not selecting, oh, you are Brahmin? Very good, you come to me. He didn't care. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Chandala, Grihastha, Vanaprasana, Brahmachari, Sannyas. These are all not considerations. The only consideration, who was eager to receive it? Who had a desire to accept it? That was all. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in such a beautiful form. He just emanated love, kindness, respect to all. He was so respectful. Although he's the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of all avatars, he's approaching even the common outcast person with folded palms, giving them all respect and requesting them, practically with straw between his teeth, accept the holy name, accept Krishna Prem. Who could resist? Even people who had no desire, which is the only qualification to receive it, he interacted with them in such a way that he awakened that desire in their hearts. Lord Chaitanya did not consider your wealth, your caste, your nationality, your race. He did not consider your religion. He did not consider your education. There was no consideration, only one. Do you have a desire to receive it? Do you have an eagerness to take it from me? If you do, it's yours. Pure love of God, the means to achieve it. But Lord Chaitanya was so kind, even if people didn't have that, he appeared with such beauty, with such gentleness, with such respect, with such kindness, that he awakened that desire, even in the hard-hearted people. Incredible. That beautiful golden form, as it was dancing and singing so sweetly, was melting the hearts of everyone. They wanted to receive his mercy. Therefore, hundreds and thousands of people were dancing in ecstatic love. People who moments before were addicted to sinful activities. Many of them were atheists. Many of them were ritualistic demigod worshippers. Some of them were probably tantrics.
Others were just puffed up scholars. People who were dysfunctional, as well as learned and pious people. There was no discrimination. One minute they're like that, the next minute they're all together gazing upon the beautiful golden form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with their arms raised in ecstatic love, loudly chanting the holy name. Now, Rupa Goswami was a great scholar of the scriptures, as was his brother Anupam. Although they were very, very high politicians with tremendous amount of influence and wealth, they built beautiful assembly halls just to invite scholars from all over the land, especially Navadweep, to come and study the scriptures with them. Sanatana Goswami, from his childhood, he just had such a deep love for the Srimad Bhagavatam. They had libraries of Vedic scriptures. They had studied and understood and realized. And their conclusion was, there is no question. Krishna descends in the age of Kali Yuga as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They understood this from the Shastras. They understood this from the commentaries of the great souls. Then in the age of Kali, Krishna Varnam Trisakrishnam Sango Pangasha Parashanam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Gajantihi Sumedasa. Krishna comes in a non-blackish form along with his associates. He comes in the beautiful form of Gauranga. And people who are intelligent understand that this Yuga avatar is giving the greatest gift in the form of the chanting of the holy names. So yes, they understood. He's Krishna. And when they saw the extent of his mercy, Rupa Goswami composed this verse. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaudatveshe Namaha. It's the essence of all avatars, the source of all avatars, and the most merciful, magnanimous, and munificent of all avatars. Why? Because he's giving the highest treasure of Krishna Prema to everyone and anyone without discrimination. No other avatar ever did like this. Previous to meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag, Dinahina yata chilo harinamu tharilo thara sakshi jagai madhai. In Sri Navadweep, those two personalities, Jai Vijay, that fell from Vaikuntha due to a slight offense to the Kumaras, Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu Kumbhakarna Ravana Dantavakra Shishupal, killed by Narasingha Dev, Varaha Dev, Ramchandra and Krishna, killed with their nails, with their tusks, with their arrows, with their chakras, and with their clubs. Yes? The same people, the same demoniac personalities were given forgiveness, were allowed to live in the highest ecstasy of Krishna Prema. Can you imagine Hiranyakashipu with straw between his teeth, folded hands, with tears of humility in his eyes, serving everybody that came to him? Can you picture that?
Yes, that is Marai.
The same personality, Hiranyakashipu, who was in this just as demoniac condition, was transformed into a humble, pure devotee.
Yes, Rupa Goswami did his research.
And this verse is the conclusion of all Vedas, the revelation of all knowledge.
Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurudvesha Namaha.
Not only is it the culminative, the cumulative essence of all knowledge, of all scriptures, of all realizations, of all the great sages throughout history, but it's the ultimate hope and shelter for all the living entities within this age of Kali.
Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurudvesha Namaha.
Krishna has come again in this world.
But he has come in the role of a devotee to teach us pure devotional service.
Rupa Goswami understood the essence of Lord Chaitanya's avatar. It is described in these beautiful pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that there were three things that Krishna, in his Leela of Vrindavan, wanted to taste but was unable to do. And that was the ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, his own pleasure potency.
That I am Rasaraj. I am the enjoyer of all transcendental mellows. I'm the reservoir of all pleasure.
But yet when I see Radharani serving me, when I see her, the nature of her love for me, I understand that her pleasure is tens of millions of times greater than mine.
This is Krishna's realization.
What is the nature of her love? What is the happiness she experiences when she sees me and serves me? And what is it about me that intoxicates her with such an ecstatic condition?
Therefore, Krishna assumed the spiritual love and complexion of Srimati Radharani to appear within this world,
to break open the storehouse of love of God and distribute the contents profusely to everyone and anyone. That Rupa Goswami could understand. And based on this most incredible revelation, based on Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and personal experience,
Rupa Goswami
not only understood the scriptures, not only could see everything as it is, but he was a personal recipient of Lord's mercy.
Rupa and Sanatan, when they met Lord Chaitanya and Ram Kali, they actually considered themselves more fallen than Jagai and Madhai.
Now, who could honestly say that?
Be serious. Could any of you honestly, from your heart, say, I am more fallen than Jagai and Madhai?
That's because we really don't have pure humility. We're not able to seriously believe that.
But Rupa and Sanatan actually believed it. That we're more fallen than Jagai and Madhai.
Although they were pious, they were learned, they were scholars, they were devotees of Krishna, they transformed all their gardens into Vrindavan replicas. They had Radha Kund and Shama Kund, and they planted Kadamba trees and Tamal trees and Bakula trees.
A great personality is not concerned with the flaws in others, but always looks for the spark of goodness and fans it. But what about oneself?
They were just ocean of good qualities, but they saw one little speck of fault. What was that speck of fault? That they were serving a Malecha and Yavana king. That's all. Other than that, they were perfect in every way. But they were serving a Malecha and Yavana king. And they didn't even want to. They were forced to. They had no choice. Now, we could make excuses. They had to do it. The Hindus would be persecuted. I would be in prison. I have to do it. But they made no excuse. They actually saw one little spark of an apparent defect. And it's only a defect if you interpret it to be so. And they fanned that. And said, because of that, we are more fallen, more degraded, more sinful, more hopeless than Jagai and Madhai.
Hare Krishna.
And therefore they fell in an ocean of humility. For a big person to humble himself, it's not easy. Here they are. Chief minister, prime minister, not chief, they were prime minister, home minister of the whole state, taking charge of all the finances of the whole king's treasury. They had straw between their teeth and cloth wrapped around their necks in humility. And they fell to the ground in full prostration, crying, weeping. They were so humble they couldn't even stand up. But the Lord embraced them. The Lord placed his lotus feet upon their heads. The Lord gave them Krishna Prem. The Lord accepted them as his own confidential internal servitors. If the Lord can accept, they said to Lord Chaitanya, you are Patita Pavan Avatar. We know who you are. If you want to actually prove to the world that you're really Patita Pavan Avatar, accept us as your servants. That's all. Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, if Jagai and Madhai become pure Vaishnavas and chant the holy names with the devotees, then I will prove to the world that the Lord is Patita Pavan. But Rupa and Sanatan believed that's not enough. They said that was an easy thing to do. But if you can accept us as your servants, then you're really Patita Pavan. And they believed it. And the Lord accepted them. Rupa Goswami, Anupam, and Sanatan Goswami had such very, very deep personal realization of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he is offering this beautiful prayer at Prayag, try to understand what it's about. Here is a man who considered himself the most sinful demon. And now he's rescued of all material bondage. Now he's feeling the ecstasy of love of God by the mercy of this Lord. He's seeing the evidence of all the scriptures to support that here is God himself. He's seeing the beauty of the Lord. He's seeing the ecstatic symptoms of the Lord. And here he's seeing hundreds and thousands, millions of people of all walks of life drowning in the oceanic nectar of love for Krishna, with their arms raised, everyone crying in ecstasy, chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his touchstone, Siromani. He's giving the love of Vrindavan to so many millions of people, and he remains the same. Anyone who simply accepts, that's the only price. Just
have the humility to just open your heart and accept it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains,
this is what we mean when we say the Lord is the most munificent.
It is not just a sectarian idea. It is based on fact, on reality. The Lord is giving the highest revelation of the spiritual world to everyone. Thus, he is the most munificent. Kaviraj Goswami continues by telling that no one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste a drop of this confidential ocean of ecstasy. This is a serious statement. Lord Brahma lives 300 trillion years. He's born of the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. That's an exalted position. Atmabhu. He has no mother. He's the first created being in the entire universe. Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is laying in the Garbhodak ocean. And by his own sweet will, a lotus flower sprouts from his navel, Padmanabh. And what a beautiful lotus flower that is. What a beautiful lotus flower. And from the whirl of the lotus flower appears Lord Brahma. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, what he is, what he's supposed to do. There's just darkness all around. He goes up and down the stem of the lotus, sees the ocean below, the ocean, universal ocean below him. And ultimately, he hears the word tapa and begins to meditate. And then the Lord actually initiates him with transcendental knowledge, gives him the power to actually perform the Lord's work of creation within the universe. That's an incredible service. But before giving him that service, he enlightens him in the essence of Vedic knowledge. He's the first guru of the universe. He's the father of every living being in the universe. Such an exalted position. His four heads, he's seeing all four directions. We can only see a short distance in one direction. What is Brahma's power? What is his revelation? He's the son of God directly. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, no one, not even Lord Brahma, can ascertain or even taste a drop of this confidential ecstasy, ocean of ecstasy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his causeless mercy, has distributed this love of God all over the world. Thus, there cannot be any incarnation more munificent than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is no greater donor who can describe his transcendental qualities. Now, when you go to temples, you see lists of donors. This person gave so many rupees, this person gave 1 lakh of rupees, this person gave 3 lakhs of rupees, yes? And people, very nice donor. But here, there is no greater donor. What is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving to the world? He's not giving rupees. Crores of rupees. Billions and trillions of quadrillions of crores of rupees. Don't compare to one speck of
dust from the spiritual world as far as value.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the supreme, oceanic gift of love of God. Even Lord Brahma in his Brahma Loka cannot ascertain its value, cannot really understand even a drop from the ocean. And Lord Chaitanya is giving the ocean.
Therefore, he is the most munificent of all incarnations of the Lord.
Then Kaviraj Goswami continues, such topics are not to be discussed freely, because if they are, no one will understand them.
Harivo. So why are we discussing?
Such are the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unto one who is able to understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown mercy by giving him the association of the servant of his servants. The only power we have to understand this inconceivable spiritual subject matter is by the mercy of the Lord. It is not a subject that can be fathomed by our human intelligence. It is not something that can be fathomed by our scholarship. Srila Prabhupada explains in these purports that even the greatest scholars in the academic field, they scrutinizingly spend years studying the teachings and the life of Lord Chaitanya and don't understand a thing about what it really all means. Because it is not mundane subject matter. It's not something that you will understand through your intellectual capacity, through your studying of books. You can memorize it. You can be able to repeat it with great, great ornamentation that will enthrall and mesmerize people around you. But you cannot understand it without the mercy of the Lord. And what attracts the mercy of the Lord? Here, Kaviraj Goswami is explaining. When you become the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants, through such service, the Lord is pleased with us. And he gives us the capacity to understand. In fact, it is by the Lord's mercy, if we're actually sincere, that he gives us the understanding to become the servant of the servant of his servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is explained here, unto one who is actually able to understand, which the Lord gives that capacity, the Lord shows his mercy. And how does he show his mercy? By making him the servant of the servant of his servants. Try to understand this inconceivable, incredible concept. Completely defies all the laws of material conditionings. If we just understand this one principle in this one sentence, we're on the path of ultimate perfection. What is actually the mercy of the Lord? Herein it is described, when you understand by the grace of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you understand this highest subject matter, then the Lord by his mercy gives that person the association of the servant of his servants. Unfortunate people who have not been blessed with causeless mercy. They want to become God. They want to enter into the supreme Brahman and become equal to God Himself. That is their conception. That the absolute, impersonal, supreme descends into this world and takes on a temporary material form in the mode of goodness, as Ram or Krishna or Shiva or Durga or Lakshmi or Kali or Kartikeya or Ganapati. And by worshipping them, we actually enter into the mode of goodness. By worshipping them, we ultimately become indifferent to materialistic ways of living. And then we attain the liberated state. And in that liberated state, we go beyond material universe, and our worshipable deity, our Ishtadev, doesn't go with us, because the Ishtadev is only temporarily manifested here. After the Ishtadev finishes, he just merges into Brahman. And when we finish our business in this world, we just merge into Brahman. So there's no differentiation. We merge into the same substance that Krishna, Ram, Shiva, Narsingha, Varaha, everyone. We become one. We just merge into that oneness. We become God. Haribo. No Haribo. That's their aspiration. That's their longing. Such persons, they may even attain that state of Brahman realization. If they actually become completely indifferent to any material desires within their life and they die desireless, Hare Krishna, then they can enter into Brahman. But such persons have not received the real mercy of the Lord. The nature of the real mercy of the Lord is when you receive it, the Lord gives you the association of the servant of His servants. Gopi Bharthur Pada Kamaliora Dasa Dasa Das Anu Das. The misconception of becoming God has no appeal to one who has received the mercy of the Lord. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of those who love Krishna, that is the ultimate benediction. That is mercy. Because in that association, we too can learn what is eternal love and eternal service. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the topmost of jewels. They have been kept in the storehouse of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who has explained them to Raghunath Das Goswami, who has repeated them to me. Whatever little I have heard from Raghunath Das Goswami, I have described in this book, which is presented to all the devotees. Here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his great humility, is explaining practically how to receive transcendental knowledge. Krishna tells in Gita, evam parampara praptam idam rajarshaya vidhu sakalane hamahata yogunashta paranda. That transcendental knowledge has been arranged to be received through the system of parampara, disciplic succession. No one has the power to invent transcendental knowledge. In the age of Kali, this is a fashion. People invent various ideologies. And some of them really make you feel so good. People invent various, or they don't actually invent, they just take from various traditions and Vedic teachings different types of meditational techniques and combine them in different ways. And actually, they make you feel so good. Really, you feel good. You feel peaceful. You feel like your anxieties are forgotten. You feel nice, peaceful, relaxed. You can think better. You can deal with people in a higher quality way. This is the absolute truth. Ah. And so many people like this, or some people perform some magical feats. And people worship them and give their lives to them. But to understand the absolute truth, actually, you'll get according to, you know, what you want. If you want just a little peace in your life, then you can get it. And you might even get a better birth in your next life in the mode of goodness because you're moral and ethical. If you actually want liberation, then these people cannot give you liberation. If you want liberation, you have to actually, mukti, follow Shankar's line. Renounce everything of this world. No sense gratification whatsoever. Forget your wife and children and husband and all this stuff. And just study Vedanta. And realize she is illusion, he is illusion, and live by that, and give up all desires by meditation and knowledge. Then, when you die, you enter Brahman Haribo. It's a serious matter. It's not just something half-hour morning, half-hour evening, and do all your materialistic things all day. You'll get a little peace, and you'll have a high quality of doing all your things all day. But you're not going to get mukti from that. You're going to get mukti when you renounce everything. And to renounce everything, you have to really discriminate at every moment. Maya, Maya, Maya. Cut that Maya. No, I will not give in to Maya. That's neti, neti, neti. Today people are not neti, neti, neti. Today people, I will do my meditation, I will do my breathing, I will do my piety, and I will enjoy, not neti. Give me, give me, give me. Yes? So peace of mind is nice, but if you want the real thing of spiritual substance beyond birth and death, actually even to attain Brahman, you have to accept that those concepts and that process through parampara. That's why Shankaracharya created a parampara. If you actually want impersonal liberation, not from all these people who just give their own concepts and these self-made liberated souls, parampara is the way. Why did Shankar establish a parampara? He was liberated. He was Lord Shiva, Haribo. But if you want prema, if you want Krishna prema, love, parampara is the means of receiving it. And what is the spirit of parampara? Here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining. He is not saying, I am God, therefore I have descended to the world to teach you how to love me. He's not saying like that. He could have. But he's not. He's not saying that when I was 58 years old, I was laying in bed and Krishna appeared to me in his threefold bending form. He glanced upon me and impregnated me with all knowledge and all realization. And then he played his flute and I went into ecstasy and I saw Vrindavan. And now Krishna has told me to share it all with you. Is he saying that? Actually, Kaviraj Goswami had experienced things higher than what I just said. But that is not the credibility that makes him authorized to teach transcendental subjects.
He is simply explain. He is simply repeating what he has heard from the previous acharyas. Now we know the story of Krishnadas Kaviraj. Should I speak something? His brother, he was doing puja, and Miniketana Ramdas, who was an associate of Nityananda Prabhu, came there. His brother offered him no respect. He was just doing his puja. And Miniketana Ramdas understood that an offense to him is actually offense to Nityananda Prabhu. So he left that place. And Kaviraj Goswami told his brother, "Why have you done?" And his brother, "I accept Lord Chaitanya, but this Avadhut Nityananda, I cannot accept him." He explained, "You cannot accept Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda. It is like the logic of accepting half of the hen. Half the hen gives eggs. You make money with the eggs. Half the hen is eating grains. You're losing money. So chop that hen in half and throw the front half away and keep the back. And then you'll only get assets with no liabilities. Is that good logic?" "No, because if you cut in half, the hen dies. You don't get anything. So if you try to accept Lord Chaitanya without accepting the original spiritual master, Nityananda Prabhu, then you don't get anything. You kill your spiritual life." Haribo. So his brother fell down. But because he defended Nityananda Prabhu, he defended the actual path of bhakti. Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream, gave him a beautiful, beautiful darshan. He was in the role of a cowherd boy. He was swaying back and forth, chanting the names of Krishna, holding a beautiful cowherd stick with a turban and a beautiful complexion, lotus-like eyes. And he told Kaviraj Goswami, "Go to Vrindavan, you shall attain all things. All your desires will be fulfilled. Go at once to Vrindavan Dham." So yes, Kaviraj Goswami had direct darshan of Lord Nityananda, who gave him direct instructions. He tells that story, but that's not his qualification. His qualification is this, that he heard submissively from Raghunath Das Goswami, who heard submissively and memorized all the words of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was the intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "I'm simply repeating what I have heard from them. And I am not concerned with popular opinion, because you'll never please everyone. Sometimes people try to adjust the truth for popularity. But you'll never please anyone." Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, gives the key. Kaviraj Goswami says, "If one says that Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of Sanskrit verses and therefore not understandable by a common man, I reply, that which I have described are the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that for me to satisfy everyone is not possible." He's simply repeating as it is, without adulteration, without personal interpretation. He's simply sharing this great treasure that he has received through parampara. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and one who follows in his footsteps, does not have to cater to the public. Their only business is simply to satisfy the previous acharyas. and describe the pastimes of the Lord.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is declaring this to be his only qualification.
And the only persons we can actually receive the unadulterated message from is people who share that same qualification.
His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shamsundar Prabhu tasted through personal realization Prabhupada's personality and his great gift.
Following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, as a true devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he distributed Lord Chaitanya's mercy without discrimination of who was fit or unfit. He gave his life, his soul, his everything to help flood the world with Krishna Prema through Krishna Nam.
And what was his qualification?
Very rarely, in very confidential expressions with his intimate associates, sometimes Srila Prabhupada gave a little glimpse of his experiences with Krishna. But that was very rare.
Prabhupada didn't tell the world that my qualification for teaching you is I have descended from Goloka Vrindavan. He didn't say that my qualification is while living in Vrindavan, the visions I had of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar's eternal Leela at Seva Kunj. Yes, that was all part of Prabhupada's life and personality. But actually anyone can say those things. Prabhupada experienced those things.
Srila Prabhupada,
with perfect continuity from the beginning of his mission to his last days, he explained, my only qualification, I am simply repeating what I have heard from my Gurudev, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who heard from Bhakti Vinod and Gaur Kishore, who heard from the previous acharyas, ultimately Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who are repeating the same message that Lord Brahma received at the beginning of creation. My only qualification is I have not added or subtracted anything. I have not diluted or compromised for popularity within the public. I am simply giving as it is.
Srila Prabhupada saw Bhagavad Gita is the summary essence of all Vedic knowledge. And so many hundreds of translations of Gita in various languages of the world, especially English. But he understood, however scholarly these commentators were, however many mystic powers they have demonstrated to their followers, they're not giving anyone an understanding of the conclusion of the Gita. No one is surrendering to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshai samimasucha.
Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. That is Gita. Man mana bhavamad bhakto. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. You will come to me without fail. This is my promise, my friend.
Nobody is giving people an understanding of who is Krishna. Everyone has their conceptions. But who's surrendering to Krishna?
Therefore, Prabhupada explained very honestly, not with no ego at all. He said, a nice American lady asked me, which translation of Bhagavad Gita do you recommend? And Prabhupada, just honest and compassionate and concerned with that lady's welfare, had to tell her that with a clear consciousness, I cannot recommend any of them. Because none of them really touch the spirit of the Gita. Because none of them are presented in parampara. Everyone is giving their own opinions based on their own experiences, their own revelations, their own intellectual speculations, or their own motivations. But who is simply repeating in parampara? Gita says that is the way to understand. Therefore, he gave Bhagavad Gita as it is. And unfortunately, people in this world think that Bhagavad Gita as it is sectarian. It's a cult book because it doesn't accommodate and accept everyone else's opinions and everyone else's commentaries and everyone else's conceptualizations and everyone else's speculations. It tells it as it is. Only by bhakti can I be understood as I am. And people are saying, you can follow bhakti, you could follow karma, you can follow jnana, you could follow astanga, you could follow kriya, you could follow raja, you could follow so many yogis, it doesn't matter, they're all paths leading to the same goal. Harivo. But Krishna doesn't say that. You could worship any devata. You could worship Ganesh. You can worship Durga. You can worship Kali, Chandika, Kartikeya, Shiva. Anyone. Doesn't matter. They're all absolute, temporary manifestations of the absolute. And if you surrender to any of them, you'll get to the same place. But Krishna says, Yanti deva vata vivam. If you worship the demigods, you'll go to the demigods. If you worship the forefathers and the ancestors, you'll go to them. If you worship the ghosts and spirits, you'll go to them. If you worship me, you'll come to me. So as soon as you present Bhagavad Gita as it is, what happens? You become extremely unpopular. Why? Because it appears sectarian. You're saying something very specific. And when you say something specific, that means you're not saying what everybody wants you to hear. You're not giving a broad, accommodating, everything goes, yatamat, tatapat, all paths lead to the same goal. Yes, what Bhaktivedanta Swami says is true. If you follow him, you'll go there. And what he says is true, and what he says is true, and what she says is true, and what it says is true, and what that says is true. It doesn't matter. Just be who you are. And chant my mantra, Haribo. Very accommodating. Avajananti ma mudha manu simtanam ashruta. That's what Krishna says. Giriraj Swami Maharaj tells the story that one person is saying, why do you call everyone rascals? Prabhupada, very humble, said, I'm not calling anyone rascal. Avajananti Mahmuda, Krishna's calling them rascals. What can I do? I can only repeat what God has said. So yes, Prabhupada has his only qualification, such humility, doesn't take credit for anything. I'm simply repeating the message as it is. That's my qualification. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in one of these beautiful verses. He says, whatever I'm giving you is perfect. It's without any flaw. One time they asked Prabhupada,
a journalist, are you perfect?
Hare Krishna.
What do you think Prabhupada said?
He said, are you perfect? Prabhupada said, I may or may not be perfect. But because I'm repeating the message as it is without changing, whatever I say is perfect. And if you follow it, you will become perfect.
That is the power and the grace of Parampara. And that was the special feature of Srila Prabhupada. He was actually humble. You have to really be from the core of your heart humble to simply repeat the message and take no credit for yourself. But it is through such a humble instrument that the mercy of the Lord flows into the world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is sharing with us his own condition. He explains here in the Madhya Lila that in chapter 1, he gave a summary of the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. One chapter he gave summary. Now he wants to write the entire Madhya Lila and the entire Antya Lila, which is so many chapters of incredible philosophy and pastimes. It is his longing to write it. But he explains, I have a desire to describe these subjects elaborately. If I remain longer and am fortunate enough to receive the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I shall try to describe them again more elaborately. Kaviraj Goswami is presenting himself in such a humble disposition that I'm very old. The fact is, I could die at any moment. It is my longing, it is my desire in life to share with the world what I heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. It is only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that it is possible. And then he explains in what condition he is depending on the mercy of the Lord. I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. While I write, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still I write. This is a great wonder. This is ecstasy. To see higher power of God's mercy just manifesting through you when you're totally incompetent. That's where the nectar is. When you're a learned scholar and you have a good memory and you have a strong young body and you present the philosophy very nice and you conquer all opposition and you're thinking, just see how I am dovetailing my intelligence and dovetailing my scholarship and my philosophical expertise and my power to debate and my youthful energy in spreading Krishna consciousness. That's nice. But that's not where the nectar is. This is where the nectar is. To be so old that you're literally suffering from invalidity and rheumatism. You can hardly walk. You can hardly see. You can hardly hear. You can't remember anything. And your hand is trembling so much it's impossible even to write. When you're in that state, and the highest poetic masterpiece of literature is manifesting through you, that's where the nectar is. What does that mean?
the nectar is really when you are such in such a totally humble and surrendered state that you could feel the unlimited, infinite, causeless mercy and love of God just flowing through you, not by your power, but by God's grace. Then you actually experience Krishna. When you completely humble yourself and let Krishna manifest through you and utilize you, that's when you really experience Krishna. That was Prabhupada's prayer on Jaladuta. I'm old. Prabhupada was 70 years old. He just had several heart attacks, seasickness. He had no money. He had no followers. He had no helpers. No donors. And he didn't even believe he could speak the language that people would understand. In this way, he was praying to Krishna, let me just be your puppet. Make me dance as you like me to dance, Krishna. I am your puppet. You've given me the name Bhaktivedanta. One who understands the ultimate conclusions of all the Vedas, which is devotional service. You've given me this name. Now it is for you to fulfill the real import or purport of this name. I have no capacity. Your unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada was in the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He wrote in one purport that he wanted to give the world the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But at this time, he was only working on the second canto with elaborate commentaries based on the purports and of all the previous acharyas. Took him years of constant meditation, prayer, and hard work to just compile the first canto in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Temple. Practically, that's what he did most of the day. So he was just translating, writing purports, and arranging for the publication of the first canto. Years of effort. And here, he's in his 70s. He's just had several heart attacks. He had a stroke. He has rheumatism. He's got one canto done. So he wrote Krishna book. A summary study of the 10th canto. And he explains in the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I'm old with rheumatism, hearing, seeing, all of these things are going, memory failing. That's what Kaviraj Goswami says. I could die at any moment. Prabhupada said, the sign has already come through heart attacks and strokes and other things. I could die at any moment. Just as Krishnadas Kaviraj summarized ahead, I'm writing Krishna book as a summary so that if I die, you will have the 10th canto. How perfectly Srila Prabhupada was really in the spirit and the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, how am I writing this? Actually, today we were chanting these beautiful slokas. Now, everyone knows that my singing is very off-key, no melody, no rhythm, like the crows cawing. There's the birds going, beep, 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 and the crows going, rah, 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 rah. So I am like a crow the way I sing. But still, even when a crow sings the verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're so eloquent. We're speaking about when Prabhupada originally translated, there was
what, 17 or 18 volumes, yes, of literatures. Thousands and thousands and thousands, tens and thousands of slokas in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And every one of them is in perfect Sanskrit with beautiful rhythm, beautiful meter. Every sloka rhymes. They're just full of nectar, all poetic ornamentations. It's literary masterpiece. Unbelievable. Not only is he explaining the most incredible, intimate, deepest pastimes of the ecstatic transformations of Lord Chaitanya, but in this beautiful, sweet, rhyming, poetic, literary decor, he's presenting the deepest, most profound, intricate philosophy. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Prakasananda Saraswati, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to Venkata Bhatta. Who can speak such philosophy in beautiful, rhyming poetry? Has any Western scholar ever done something like this? Even at the prime of their youth? At the sunlight of their career? This man is suffering from old age, invalidity. He's practically blind. He can hardly hear. He can't remember things. His hand is shaking. And in that condition, he's presenting the philosophy and teachings of Lord Chaitanya in such beautiful poetry that it is not just spoken, it is sung. So impeccable that all the great self-realized Goswamis, Babajis, all the great Brijbasis of Vrindavan, they all unanimously accepted that no one is more qualified to write than you. Krishna, why are they saying like this? Because they understood that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, due to his humility, due to his total surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was accessing the highest knowledge from the spiritual realm through parampara by simply repeating as it is. It is truly extraordinary when we consider Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did not have a secretary. He did not have a staff of people who were just taking things from other places and compiling, and all he did is just proofread it and put his name on it. He didn't have a staff. He didn't have editors. He didn't have secretaries. He didn't have a dictaphone. He didn't have computers. He was writing on palm leaves, yes? And if you make any mistake, he didn't cross it out. If you make any mistake, you have to start a whole new palm leaf. Can you imagine writing such perfect poetry like that? Describing the deepest subtleties of spiritual philosophy? And if you make one little mistake in any word or any letter, you don't just, like computers, just delete backspace and do it over. No. To throw away the palm leaf and start over again. With rheumatism and trembling hands. And such a masterpiece. that of all the incredible biographies of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the Chaitanya Mangal or Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, the Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das Thakur, the Chaitanya Charita by Murari Gupta, and so many other biographies of the Lord. But this biography, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is considered by all of our acharyas as the first and foremost, the classic, authoritative explanation of Mahaprabhu's life and teachings. So beautifully, eloquently composed, so accurate, so full of nectar. Yes, if we're young and if we're intelligent and if we're charismatic, dovetail all your propensities in preaching Krishna consciousness. But the real nectar is when you actually access that causeless mercy by taking this humble position of simply being an instrument of the acharyas. Not considering my own abilities or inabilities, but simply surrendering to be the puppet of the Lord. As it is, repeating. That's where we actually experience Krishna. That's where we actually reveal Krishna to others.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, I'll repeat it again. It's incredible, this verse. Please savor the nectar of this verse.
Most people will think you're crazy for liking a verse like this. But as Vaishnavas, we understand its depth. He says, I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. Now you young people, you don't know what invalidity is till you have it. He was in his 90s when he began Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have now become too old and disturbed by invalidity. Now for someone like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami living on the banks of Radhakund, when he says he's disturbed, that doesn't mean there's some mosquitoes. I mean, for him, for a man of this character to say he's disturbed, that means there are severe inflictions upon him. While I write, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still, I write, and this is a great wonder. Srila Prabhupada, in a similar condition, he would have devotees read Krishna book to him. And you all remember Prabhupada's wonderful, wonderful words. He said, I did not write this. Krishna wrote it through parampara. When you simply repeat the words of the acharyas, when your only business is simply to please the previous acharyas, then Krishna manifests through you. And this is a great wonder.
And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reveals his qualification to be an acharya and an author of such a historical literature.
He doesn't just offer his obeisances. He says, I worship herewith the lotus feet of all kinds of devotees, both the advanced and the neophyte. I request all of them
to be satisfied with me.
Kaviraj Goswami is not speaking ritualistically.
Generally, people misconceive of worship as being a ritual. Someone comes to your house and you wash their feet and then you put some kumkum and uncooked rice on their forehead. That is the tradition of worshipping in many places of India. Then you could put a garland and give them nice sitting place.
But actual worship is something of the heart.
It is culture to express the feelings of the heart through such rituals. Therefore, these rituals are very pleasing and very wonderful.
But actual worship is of the heart. To really humble yourself and consider yourself, you have to be humble and consider yourself to be inferior to worship someone. Isn't that what worship means?
How many bosses worship their employees?
If you feel yourself in a superior position, then so-called worship is simply a superficial ritual. It has no meaning. But the worship of the heart means I honestly and earnestly honor and respect this person. I want to not just respect, but I want to worship this person. That means this person is holy, is sacred in my life. Something that it is worshipable is sacred and holy and above us. Yes? Kaviraj Goswami worships all devotees.
Not only the advanced ones. Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's taking the dust of their lotus feet as his very life and soul.
But he's also worshiping the neophyte devotees. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains various categories of neophyte devotees. One is somebody who chants the holy names, but really they're mixed up. Yes? Sometimes they imitate others, trying to appear advanced. That's neophyte. Neophyte means immature. Sometimes you're reckless. Sometimes you can't really strictly follow the principles. Or sometimes even if you are, you get a little puffed up because you are, and you think you're better than others. And you try to imitate a higher platform than you are. These are all qualities of neophyteness. And as you become seasoned and more mature in devotional service, these neophyte qualities, they can impress others, but they don't impress us. Yes? So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's a paramhamsa of the highest order. And he's worshiping in his heart even the neophyte devotees who are chanting the holy names. Anybody who is a devotee of the Lord, advanced or neophyte, they are all dear to the Lord. They are all better than me. I depend on all of their mercy. Kaviraj Goswami is explaining like this, that I am simply writing this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita to satisfy all the devotees. Kaviraj Goswami is revealing his heart. His motivation for writing this great literature, which is an incredible sacrifice at his age, is his way of worshiping the advanced and neophyte devotees. He explains what real worship is about. He says, I request all of them to be satisfied with me.
to worship is to satisfy. It is not impersonal. Actual service is to satisfy the heart of the person you're serving.
When we say das, das, anu, das, it doesn't mean I'm your servant, get out of my way, rascal, because I'm your servant.
It means to actually want to please and satisfy the heart of the object of your service. This type of service is worship.
Kaviraj Goswami wants to satisfy all the sincere, beloved devotees of the Lord. And therefore, he worships the advanced and the neophyte. That is humility.
The material conditioning is as we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, we become more recognized, we have status, we have prestige, people bow down. Then the tendency is to think that they should all try to satisfy me. But the Paramhamsa and the actual advanced devotees who understand what is real spiritual substance, they're humble. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Advancement really means not just how learned we are or how many followers we have or how many people say kijai whenever we walk in the room. But real advancement is to the extent we are humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, offer all respect to others, and expect none in return. In that state, we really, our life is simply to satisfy the Lord by satisfying his devotees. That is spiritual progress.
I worship herewith the lotus feet of all kinds of devotees, both advanced and neophyte. I request all of them to be satisfied with me.
Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, first of all, is humbling himself to worship all others. And now the next line appears like a contradiction. Do you know what it is? He says, I am faultless. First he's saying, I'm worthless. I'm an invalid. I can't see, I can't hear, I can't write, I can't remember. I'm worshiping all neophyte devotees, everyone, but I'm faultless. Now how many of you would say, I am faultless? That would seem to be false pride. But Kaviraj Goswami is speaking with just as Prabhupada did. He says, I am faultless because I have written herein whatever I have understood from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis. I have neither added nor subtracted from their version. He can, with utter conviction and confidence, he can say, I am faultless. Not on the strength of himself, but on the strength of the power of the mercy of the previous acharyas. I am faultless because I have humbled myself to these great souls, because I simply herein repeat their words, whatever here is, my endeavor is faultless. Little by little I'm getting invalidity, so it's a blessing actually. Yes, Shamsundar Prabhu? If we can follow in the footsteps of Kaviraj Goswami. By hearing from this great Paramhamsa, who has been honored and worshipped by the greatest acharyas, we can understand why Srila Prabhupada, who so perfectly follows in his footsteps, is an absolutely
pure, transparent via medium to the highest spiritual truths. And therefore, our aspiration is simply to be the servant of the servant of the servant of such a pure Paramhamsa Vaishnav who has so perfectly realized and present the inner conclusions of spiritual truth. In the association of those who have faith in Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, our ultimate destination is guaranteed if we simply follow in their footsteps and together fill the world with the loud chanting of the holy name. Everyone, try chanting 100 million times louder. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Gaur Purnima Mahotsav ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki, Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much.